Just read a couple of verses before we commit the message to the Lord. So we'll find the first one in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Thank you, Brother Huey. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The next one is Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful time we have in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to gather together to hear from your word. Lord, bless us as we learn from it. Father, let us pay attention to it and think on it during the week, Lord. May it change us to better serve you and to be closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll be carrying on in the book of Job this evening. So specifically looking at the third chapter. So you can turn with me there if you like and just put a finger in there. So as we read in the preceding weeks, Job's trials, which have been ordained of God, have tested this saint's faith and commitment to God. By divine mandate, Job's faith has been shown to be more precious to him than anything else in his life. Now, it was Job's integrity specifically that was being tested. It's the attribute that God was trying to prove to Satan, not Job's patience, although Job's patience is the virtue that he is best known for. By integrity, what is meant is the authenticity of Job's confession of faith. Hypocrisy is what Satan was hoping to expose. Integrity is what he got. The true believer will never give up their faith, no matter the circumstances. The Holy Spirit has sealed the confession of faith unto the day of redemption. Until that time comes, we are obliged to trust in God's sovereign will in our lives. This is the main message of Job. Now, we'll start in verse 1 through to verse 10. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let the darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. So at the end of chapter 2, we read how Job's friends came to sit with him in solidarity. And that whole time, for a week, they remained silent. They didn't want to presume upon Job's vulnerability by offering empty words or their opinion of why this had happened to Job. So it was Job who was allowed to speak first. It's a good idea for us as well to remember not to be too quick to sermonize when we're confronted by other people's suffering. I want to point out, though, that the book of Job has a very important apologetic element. So it's important for us to understand Job and suffering in particular when we're witnessing to people. Suffering is an extremely relevant topic for us to understand when we witness the lost, because it's one of the chief objections unbelievers have to the existence of God, especially a loving God, as the Bible tells us. We need to know how to answer questions about suffering and pain from a biblical perspective. Personally, I know I haven't suffered a great deal. The next man may very well have suffered a lot more and have a lot more to say about it from a personal perspective. And so we can't hope to rely simply on our own experiences. We have to be able to answer these questions from the Bible, to address questions about why God allows suffering. The book of Job provides those answers. So back to the text. Job has sat on this for a whole week now. His pain is unabated. He appears to have had no hope of improvement for his situation. We saw this kind of despair in Jeremiah. Return with me there quickly to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 14. Because of Jeremiah's persecutions and also the pressure the Lord was putting on him to witness, we can see that Jeremiah uttered a very similar curse to Job. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 14. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bear me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. So even the most righteous, the most upright saints will have times of despair. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians, where Paul said, wherefore let the man who thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. No doubt Eliphaz, Bildad and Zophar, Job's friends, have their own thoughts about what is happening to Job, but they have deferred to Job to let him speak first. Notice now that Job does not curse God, which was the entire satanic goal, but instead directs his curses towards the day he was born. Job has reached the end of his patience and pronounces a very elaborate curse on his birthday. Job, it has to be admitted here, has sinned with his lips. While there are examples in the Word for us to imitate, there are also examples there for our admonition. One's birth is a time for rejoicing, a time we should be thankful to God. The frustration and despair Job is experiencing reveals that he is not above the weakness that is inherent in everyone. Job's famous virtue, patience, has its limits. But revealing this was not the purpose of God's testing. Even now, Job does not curse God. Job 3:11 to 19. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now, should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hid and untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Job leaves off cursing his birthday, instead expressing his desire that he should have rather died at birth. It's obvious that these curses are as impotent as they are exaggerated. They reflect Job's lack of control over his life. He has no power at all to make these things come to pass. He can't do anything to bring about these curses as much as he desires it. I think it is a mercy, however, that such wishes aren't fulfilled in hindsight. I think that the amount of times that I've prayed for things or asked for things of God that would have been regretful looking back on them, it was a real mercy that God didn't bring them to pass. If we turn to James 4:3, there's something to say on unworthy prayer. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. In our passion, we often ask for things we know are not His will and would only lead to regret. Only those who are destined for hell ought to wish they never existed, as Jesus said about Judas in Mark 14:21, because of his ultimate destiny, it would have been better for him not to have existed than suffered the pangs of hell. But no matter how bad it gets for the redeemed in this earthly life, heaven will be worth it. As we read in our opening scripture from Romans, in Revelation 21, if you'll turn with me there, we read of the Lord's promise to undo all of our former woes. Revelations verse 1-4 of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is one of my first responses to people who, like Job, like any of us might, question the purpose of God in allowing suffering, and not just allowing it, but engineering it. God has the power to reverse all suffering. All power is His. He has the power to completely negate it or to prolong it forever in hell. Nothing that a person could suffer in this life would ever compare to the suffering they would have in hell if they reject Jesus Christ. So nothing we conceive is beyond God's power to fix. To try to incriminate God because of suffering is just another way to avoid the gospel. Job, at this point, had lost sight of God's plan for him. In the following verses, Job reveals that in his despair, he has failed to wait on the Lord. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Every person's life has a purpose. That purpose is to glorify God one way or another. We can choose to glorify Him by accepting His mercy as we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to save us from sin, or we can glorify Him by being subject to His holy wrath and justice by being punished eternally in hell. But for Job and human beings in general, our own sufferings tend to blinker us to the reality. But God will always have the last word, as we'll conclude in Job next time.